It's a report by Diane Sawyer on a man on the run. The man they call the Rambo of the Philippines. President Aquino calls him a murderer and a traitor. Since he led an uprising 16 days ago, he's been in hiding. Diane Sawyer went to the Philippines to look for him and found him.
For 24 hours on August 28th, this was the scene in the streets of Manila. And this is the man who was leading the soldiers' rebellion, the legendary Colonel Gregorio Hanasan, a rakish Philippine national hero known as Gringo. By the time a government counter-assault ended Hanasan's mutiny, 53 people had been killed, 300 wounded, some of them civilians, including President Aquino's son. The first order given was that Hanasan be shot on sight. Later, the order was softened to capture him alive. Hanasan had become a hunted man. And the way we got to him is something of a story in itself. After several secret meetings with rebel intermediaries, it was arranged that a van would pick us up before dawn. When it arrived, two men wearing masks ordered us to get in and lie face down, which is how we stayed for about an hour until the van stopped and we were blindfolded and led one by one up a narrow stairs into a small attic room. Within minutes, Gringo Hanasan appeared. He set no ground rules and did not, as rumored, ask for money. He said he agreed to this meeting with us and Newsweek's Melinda Liu because of false stories like the one that he's a Muslim fanatic and because of his fear that Filipino journalists would be censored.
Are you scared?
Well, who wouldn't be? Nobody wants to be the object of a nationwide manhunt. Nobody wants to be the victim of one-sided propaganda.
Are you convinced there really is a manhood hunt? Do you think they really don't know where you are?
Some units and some commanders, some officers who want to take advantage of the opportunity to increase their stock value are actively participating in it. But I think the majority of law enforcement and military personnel are half-hearted about the effort.
If the search for Hanasan is half-hearted, it may be because in the Philippines, he's a kind of Ollie North, a combination matinee idol and brash adventurer, who parachutes from planes with a python in his pocket and also charms the businessmen at the Rotary Club. He's a soldier's soldier who says his men would follow him anywhere, even into the streets.
Tell me, how many? They said there were 1,000 to 1,300 on August the 28th. Mm-hmm. Are they close?
No.
Many more?
More.
Thousands and thousands more.
Well, I won't be that presumptuous again and say that we're thousands or hordes, but it's a reasonable force.
And are they out there now waiting for another phase? Is there another phase that you have planned?
They're out there now, with their sentiments, their sympathies, waiting for another effort.
And the men who are out there for Hanasan include some of the Army's best and brightest. Many of the officers are, like him, top graduates of the military academy, the Philippine West Point. His supporters have long been openly critical of Cory Aquino and her military chief, Fidel Ramos, saying they are dangerously incompetent and too weak to run the country. The soldiers say corruption is as bad as it was under Marcos. And while Aquino offers amnesty to the communist rebels, she gives the army no direction and no support.
You really think Cory Aquino is letting this country eventually go to the communists? You really believe that?
By omission? By wrong advice? But definitely I have a very strong feeling that she is not completely in control, which to me is very essential for management.
Is part of your agenda a commitment to a different kind of warfare against the communists?
Yes.
To a tougher, more active, concerted?
Yeah. Well, tougher is still relative. We want a very clear national security policy.
And if the colonel sounds a lot like this man, it's no coincidence. Juan Ponce and Relay, former defense minister, Aquino's arch rival, used to be Hanasan's boss, even calling the colonel's group my boys. Together, they opposed Marcos at the time of the revolution and expected Aquino to make the armed forces an equal partner after Marcos fell. But Anasin says even as Aquino gave out medals, she still blamed the military for the murder of her husband. And even as he shook her hand, he simmered with resentment and decided that something drastic had to be done.
People both in government and in the military have been lying to each other and telling everybody that everything is okay, everything is under control, we have no problems. We have problems. Everything is not under control.
And he says that's why on August 28th, his men surrounded the presidential palace, Malacañang. He says it wasn't really a military coup, but a kind of stunt designed to wake people up.
Wait a minute, you're saying this was just to be a symbolic demonstration?
Yes.
Just a gathering in the street of the military?
Yes, a gathering in the street of the military. Some acoustic effects.
Acoustic effects? What,
yes.
You mean shooting over people's heads?
Yes.
To scare them?
Not to scare them, but to catch their attention.
But this was quite a length to go to make a public political point, symbolic point.
If you consider the cultural
environment,
especially if you consider the nature of Filipinos, you cannot talk to them in conventional terms.
So this was just an unconventional way of getting their attention?
Yes, and conveying a message and generating awareness.
Did Minister Enrile know what you were doing?
No.
Not at all?
No.
No one believes that. No one can believe that.
Yes.
He knew generally, didn't
we? We have to give him a little credit for intelligence. The man is very perceptive.
If he'd said, no, don't do it, would you have stopped?
It had gone beyond what he thought and what we thought. We moved because we felt very strongly, with enough basis, that it was time to deliver a message.
Whatever message was intended, this message was delivered.
The aim of the rebels was clearly to kill the president and her family.
She thought you were trying to kill her and her family. They were on their knees praying inside the palace.
On their knees praying?
That's what their daughter has said.
I was also on my knees praying for some form of divine intervention when I decided to get involved in this effort. I was telling whoever was listening, of course I was alone physically, that if something is wrong with the moral basis for all this, then I should have an accident.
Then let you be killed before it happens.
Yes, let me be suffer a sprain while jogging.
So you're saying it's a question of whose side God is on?
Yes, I'm not deeply religious, but I believe in divine intervention. It has happened too many times already.
Did you not foresee that something like this could happen?
Yes, that was part of the risk we took.
So you're willing to risk the deaths, even of civilians?
Well,
to make this
in a very indirect sort of way, I told them not to fire at civilians, not to fire at fellow soldiers. The president is not the issue here or the target. It is politically untenable for us to either kill her, any member of her family, hold her hostage, or hold Malacañang. But we had the force to do it.
Anasin admits he intended to hold the military bases until he forced Cory Aquino to accept a kind of junta of political and military professionals. He said this committee would help run the country until she learned how, if she ever learned. And he seems a little surprised she didn't appreciate his management advice.
I never thought she could take it so personally.
But you tend to take things personally when you're in a palace and your military surrounds it and cuts off your exit and your son is trying to get in.
Yes, but that is the burden of being president. Mrs. Aquino cannot anymore assume the role of housewife, widow. She has to rise above her shortcomings her strengths, she has to rise above personalities. Because that is the only way we can address the issue confronting the Republic right now, which is not ideology, not politics, it's survival.
But the Aquino government says Honasan is less interested in the country's survival than his own political ambition. When we told General Ramos, the chief of staff, about our interview, he said, for more than a year, Honasan has been diverting weapons from our soldiers into a personal stockpile. He doesn't want democracy. He must be tried for committing crimes against our people. Honasan says he and his men will be back for another round, though not a round like August 28th.
But you're saying whatever happens in the next few months, you will do nothing to do that would endanger civilian lives, like happened on August 28th.
Yes.
That you will not engage in urban warfare, in terrorism, which people have talked about, in bombing of installations.
Yes.
But there will be something else?
It will be something else. A more non-confrontational way of doing it.
I don't know what the options are.
Well, these are tactical options, so you... I think you should also give us credit for... some imagination.
You know, the rest of the world looked at this country and said they made it. They made it from a dictatorship to a democracy. And the next thing you know, there are 5 coup attempts, apparently, against Mrs. Aquino, and one on August 28th that nearly succeeded. And to the rest of the world, this looks like fascism.
Which is, again, even to the rest of the world, a label that people who do not understand internal issues are fond of making.
But to the outside world, who look at this and say, he's a Rambo gone amok. He's a macho man who just didn't keep control of himself. What do you say to them?
Well, I say to them, you can try being a Filipino for maybe 1 week or 2 weeks, and then I'll give you a chance to say your piece again. And then that's the only time you can even start thinking and feeling like a Filipino, and then maybe in a more credible sort of way, evaluating what we as a people are going through. You cannot be 10,000 miles away and say, he's a Rambo ganmag. Who is Rambo? Rambo is an American.
And at one point, during our visit to his hideout, before we were blindfolded and led back to the van, we heard a sound overhead that reminded us what it must be like to be Gringo Honasan these days.
What is that?
I think that's a helicopter. Unless they have a way of...
Yours or theirs?
I think ours.
Yours? You're being watched that carefully,
yes.
Protected that carefully.
No, I'm just kidding about being ours. I think the pilot is ours, but the helicopter is not yet ours.